This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. On today's show, I'm talking to Sarah Perry. Sarah is an award-winning artist from Leeds, UK, and specialises in pastel, pencil, and graphite. As a member of the Association of Animal Artists, she is renowned for her highly realistic animal portraits, and in 2024, she was recognised as a finalist in the Sketch for Survival competition. In this episode, we discuss how we got our first paid commissions, what it's really like switching careers to become an artist, experimenting to find your artistic style, and the pros and cons of selling your art at markets and events. As we talked, we both drew exercise 25 from the practice journal Pet Portrait Edition, A Horse's Eye. This is all coming up on the show today, so get your materials ready if you're drawing along, hit follow and subscribe, and let's go.
Hi! Yes, it worked. Fantastic. Oh,
how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Do you need me to adjust my camera or anything, my phone, or is that okay for
it
you?
It looks good to me. Yeah, I can see. Good. Can everybody else see? I'm sure they can too. Oh, it's so lovely to have you here.
Well, thank you for asking me. I have to say, I'm just a Adele fan of yours because I bought your Art Is My Career.
Oh, did
book,
you?
Right, at the beginning of, yeah, setting up on my sort of artist journey. So, yeah, that was loads of information in there, which really, really helped me.
Oh, good.
Set up my little business as well. So yeah. Oh.
Fantastic. I'm so pleased to help you.
That's okay.
So I'd love for you to tell me a bit about yourself and how you got started as an animal artist.
So I took voluntary redundancy from my previous research job. So a bit like you in a sense, I was mm-hmm. from a sort of science background. Mm-hmm. The opportunity came up for me to take voluntary redundancy back in 2019, which I was able to do, and I left in 2020, and I was going to do some RHS exams, but August came along. It was my brother's birthday. Hadn't got a clue what to get him. We were in lockdown, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he rides out for a racing yard near to where he lives. And so I thought, oh, I know, I've got loads of photographs of the horses he rides out on. Why don't I do that?
Yeah.
And that was my kind of light bulb moment. I mean, I'd always drawn on and off, mm-hmm. but had to make that sort of choice at sort of, I don't know, 14, 15, about whether to pursue art or science. And in the end, I opted to, you know, to choose science, but basically because I thought, well, I can do art at home, I can't do science at home. So that was the basis. But I always kept coming back to drawing. It, you know, that was something that I just wanted to do, really. So I was so glad that that opportunity sort of came along and, you know, presented itself. So, yeah.
Well, that's so fantastic. I'm so pleased you found your way.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. It's always a thing like that, isn't it? Because that was exactly the same what happened to me. You're like 15, 16 years old and you're told, like, you know, what do you want to do? What's your career? it can't be art. Art's just a hobby, you know.
Exactly.
And that's when you pick something like a safe one, which is like science or engineering or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The safe career option. But it isn't really, because nowadays there's so many people that are graduating and not able to find jobs in engineering and things.
Absolutely.
So
I mean, you know, certainly post-COVID funding has been so hard for people in the science sector. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's not easy at all. So it, and it's kind of, I absolutely love working from home as well. You know, it's great sort of for a sort of family sort of type balance as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, that there's that aspect as well that I really enjoy. But you know, I don't regret my science career. I did. I had a wonderful time and I really enjoyed it, but it was just time for me to do something different, really.
Mm-hmm.
And this came along, so yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. So is that why you've chosen a horse eye for us today?
Well, it was, I absolutely love drawing horses, but I don't get to draw them as often as mm-hmm. I'd like, you know, for commissions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So and the reflections were just so beautiful.
Yes, they are, aren't they?
So I thought, yeah, let's go for that, and we'll see how far we get, because it's quite detailed. You can get
it, is, isn't it? Yeah,
reflection. But yeah, and I noticed, are you drawing on pastel mat as well, Sam?
Yes, I'm giving it a go. This is the first time I'm doing something so detailed on pastel mat, so it'll be interesting to see how I can pick out those details. You're using pastel mat as well, are you?
Yeah, I always use the dark grey.
Okay.
I find that it's a really good mid-tone. I've got used to knowing how the pastel colour looks
right
on it as well. Because I once did, I don't draw people at all. I find it really scary, so I just don't do it. And I was approached to, I did a portrait of, it was a bride holding her very beautiful horse in a sort of a meadow.
Oh.
And I was so worried about the flesh colour looking wrong on grey that I did it on white pastel mat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so shocked as to how different the colours were, you know.
Mm.
It was unbelievable, really. And I had to relearn all my sort of colours.
Oh, no.
Down. So I decided, I just went back to the dark grey, because it just means I know how all my colours work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, on different colours, I mean, that's the beauty of pastel mat and so many different artists. You know, you've got the opportunity to try so many different colours.
Yes, I would like to do that, because obviously I've only got just this like off-white creamy colour.
Yeah,
it's just what I bought. But yeah, this is definitely a good opportunity to try other colours, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I've seen other artists, you know, sort of do the most beautiful portraits, you know, with the lovely sort of backgrounds of, you know, on a yellowy pastel mat or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And the colours look so different, but, it, you know, it really works well. So I know a lot of artists like to select a colour based on, you know, their subject, which works beautifully as well.
Do you prefer the grey?
Yeah. I It's great for highlights as well, you know, for lighter furs and mm-hmm. and things like that. I find it works really well. And I don't know, I've just got so used to it now that I can't kind of visualize using something else really. And I, you know, I'm putting sort of these base layers down. I often don't use pan pastel base layers as much as probably other artists. So I thought, as you know, for speed today as well, just to get a little bit more down, it's quite useful for me to do something as well that I maybe don't always, you know, do quite as often. It just depends what I'm drawing really.
Yes. Have you tried any other colors then of pastel matte? What did you think of them?
Not for portraits. Mm-hmm. I did have when I first started, I got a, you know, one of the books where it was A5, it's not A5, it's bigger, but it was it had a lot of the sort of yellow sort of corn colors and things like that. I did kind of try it, but I just kept going back to the dark gray. And there is
interesting
light as well, which I know people use, which is even darker. So it's, you know, that's another option as well. But yeah, the tooth on pastel matte, I find, you know, fantastic for sort of the drawings that I do. So it allows me to get those layers down, which is really, really, you know, to get the detail in.
And I've definitely find it interesting how it works with color pencils, because I'm using a pan pastel base layer and then I'm going to go over the top with colored pencils. But I feel like it almost makes color pencils work like pastels, because you can layer light over dark quite easily.
And
I'm just wondering how does that work on a different paper, even though it's the same medium and I'm using the same layers, like I'm doing my pastel, then I'm doing my Caran d'Ache luminance, and then I'm doing my Faber-Castell, and then the Faber-Castell seems to just layer better over those layers, even though I feel like it's not even touching the paper anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so weird.
It's bizarre, isn't it, how they work and how... I mean, I have done coloured pencil work in the past, but it's not something that I get asked to do an awful lot, you know, and so I'm not as used to doing it. Do you think that the pan pastel just fills the tooth a little bit, so there isn't that graininess, you know, that's quite hard to overcome, isn't it, when you're when you using coloured pencils?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I know I definitely have to add more layers than I usually do.
Yes. Yeah.
To get rid of that grainy toothiness.
Yes. Yeah. It's do you draw with colour pencils on any other surfaces, or is that the surface that you tend to use the most?
This is my practice surface. So I normally, for my commissions, I use my Strathmore 500 Bristol series. It's a much smoother paper. And before that, for like 6 years, I used the Winsor & Newton Super Smooth Bristol board. And I used that for like 6 years just because it was comfortable. I knew the surface. It did exactly what I wanted it to do. But as my technique and is developing, like I'm trying to get faster and more accurate while being faster, I'm finding that other papers help a bit more to that.
Yeah,
if you get what I mean, like just finding out what tools enable you to create the same quality at a faster and more precise rate.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I'm experimenting with at the moment.
And it's good, you know, even somebody with your experience of, you know, drawing pet portraits for, you know, a long time very successfully, it's really good to know that you're still experimenting as well. You know, I don't think we ever stop, really, do we?
As no.
Artists, new things. And
I used to use my commissions as experiments. So, like, if a new commission came up, like the one that I hadn't done before, then maybe I'd try out a new piece of paper or a new medium, like a new brand of colour pencil. Yeah. And, you know, just hope it works because it's a new commission. And if it really doesn't, then I'd, you know, start again on what I knew. Yeah. But now that I've got this book, I have way less pressure experimentation and just literally trying anything and everything that I have in my possession. Yeah. And then... making a list of things that I then want to buy to try out. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think I heard on your live drawing live yesterday with Lorna Dandy.
Yes.
That you were talking about the number of books that you're hoping to bring out as reference.
Yes,
and that's one of the things that I find with commissions, because I do a lot of backgrounds for people, and so you might get something, you go, oh my goodness, I haven't drawn that before. How am I going to tackle, you know, that texture or you know, that particular surface or yeah. whatever. So things like, you know, having the book that you're developing is really great to, you know, to sort of to do that with and do that experimentation.
Yeah, that's the idea, really. So say you get a commission and the customer wants like a gradient background, and you've never done like a beautifully smooth gradient before, or even just done a gradient before. Yeah. My textures my practice journal textures edition is going to have variations of gradients as well as variations of, like, you know, materials, silk, metal, shiny things, glass, reflections, all that kind of stuff that you can practice. And the idea is that, like, oh, I've been commissioned to do this. Get out your practice journal, find one that's similar to what you're going to be commissioned to do.
Yeah.
Try it out in this little box and then just see, get a feel for it before you do the real thing that you've been paid to do. And it's just such an easy way to make sure that you, one, you know what you're doing when it comes to doing the real thing for your paying customer, and two, it will definitely give you the confidence to approach things in a way that you wouldn't necessarily think before, because maybe you would try something new that works so much better than what you have been doing.
Definitely.
Yeah,
that sounds perfect.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I'm literally creating what I feel like I want and I need, and there isn't anything out there like it.
No,
because even trying to find the reference pictures alone can be a headache.
Absolutely, you know, and for the right thing, and I know sometimes with some you know, understandably, some of the quality of the images that we get for commissions, especially, you know, when it's a memorial portrait, I have on some occasions had to kind of go to reference images to look at a breed of that particular dog or animal, to just try and see the detail and just
see what it actually looks like.
It can be really difficult, but obviously, you know, when they are memorial portraits, you know, it's kind of especially important to, you know, try and capture as much detail for, you know, client as possible, but sometimes it can be incredibly difficult. I have resorted, but yeah, it's hard often, you know, trying to track down sort of decent reference
Definitely. Yes, yeah. I am using free license image websites to create these books.
Yes.
So someone says, do you use Pixabay or Unsplash for your references at all? So yes, so these books are created with license free image websites like Pixabay, Unsplash. I'm using all of them and literally getting every picture that I can find for really specific things and putting them all in one place, which is these books. So making it so much easier for everybody and me, so we could all practice and have fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So why pastels then? Tell me your story of why you love using pastels.
I think it's because they're quite painterly. Mm-hmm. And they're very forgiving.
Yeah.
So if I think that doesn't look right, I can kind of, you know, you can draw over quite often.
Yes.
Provided you haven't filled in the tooth with the pastel mat. I mean, I must admit I haven't tried any other sort of pastel surfaces because I just love this so much. I haven't taken the time out to kind of look for any other types of surface. But I started off doing sort of graphite drawing.
Okay.
So I started off in graphite. I started watching YouTube videos by Emma Colbert, the pastel artist.
Yes, she's really good, isn't she?
Beautiful work. And Jason Morgan as well.
Yes.
So I watched their sort of videos and on YouTube, and that was what kind of inspired me really to have a go at mm-hmm. the pastels. And I absolutely love them. Mm. So I've just kind of stuck with them really. And most of the commissions that I do are, the requests are for pastel. So that's what I tend to work in. Although I've just I bought a Zoom series of Zoom live Zooms from Jean Pritchard, the wildlife painter.
Oh yeah.
And so she works in oils, and I was really keen to learn how to use oils, and Jean uses oils in the way that I use pastel, sort of light layers and sort of building up the detail once each layer is dry. I tried acrylics, but I just couldn't get on with them at all. Mm-hmm. So I watched it was a snow leopard Zoom, so I bought sort of all the live Zoom sessions, and I've gone through those, so I've got all the things that I need from, you know, from watching Jean's Zoom, and she's brilliant, you know, she takes you through all the steps and materials. So, you know, it's like everything, you know, when you start out you haven't got a clue mm-hmm. what the best things to use are, and it, in a way, watching sort of Emma's videos YouTube videos and Jason, it kind of took a lot of the unknown out of it, and you know, that's kind of why I started with pastel mat and things like mm-hmm. that, because mm-hmm. You know, it was something that they used all the time pretty much. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what got me started on the pastel journey, and I've just sort of loved using pastels ever since really.
You do incredibly detailed work. I really love that dog on the, is it the dog on the sofa or something? On the leather.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
Thank you. that was a commission from a few years ago, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was actually freelancing for as a pet portrait artist for another company who they sort of stopped a few years ago now, but that was one of the ones I did, and that was the first time I'd drawn leather, and it was pretty much all in pan pastels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I absolutely loved doing that particular one, and I've done a few now, sort of dogs on sofas. I really like drawing the fabric.
Yeah.
And that sort of detail in. But thank you. I'm really glad you like that one.
Yeah, I really like that one. It really stood out to me. I was just like, wow, that's a beautiful portrait, that one.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you've done so. It amazes me how many cats.
Yes.
I remember reading, I listened to Bonnie Snowden. You did a podcast with Bonnie Snowden as well, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
I've listened to, you know, nearly all of them, I think, because they're really fascinating to listen to. But while I'm working, it's quite nice to have mm-hmm. all in the background. But I remember, you know, you saying that kind of, from social media, you know, somebody had seen it on social media and that was it, really. You know, your work sort of totally took off. People, you know, people absolutely loved your cat drawings. And
yeah.
Whereas I really love cats to draw, which is really disappointing.
it's you never really know how it works out, because I basically started a business without realizing that I'd started a business.
Yeah.
But it also happened at the exact right time, because at the time I was waiting for my PhD to start, so I had zero income. We were so poor. I just got back from doing my master's in Strasbourg, so I was like in between things, and we didn't know what to do in terms of money, and we were just like living in Sheffield, and I was just like, oh, I'm just gonna, my friend was like, oh, do you want to draw my cat for 50 quid, like trying to help me out, and I was like, oh, yes, please. You know, that was the first time I'd ever been paid for anything, so one, I was, you know, really happy to be paid for my artwork, which is really kind of her, and two, I was happy to, you know, get the money. I posted that on Facebook, and then that's where it just took off, and I was just so, like, amazed at the amount of people, especially Americans, that wanted me to do their cats. And it was mostly cats, I guess, because I posted a cat first, but it was mostly cats that I started doing, and that, you know, the more cats I did, the more cats I was commissioned to do. So I think I must have done maybe 200 cat commissions now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot of cats.
I've probably done about 10.
Yeah,
most of mine are dogs. It's interesting, isn't it, what you know, people seek you out for as well.
I do love cats, because I've always loved tigers anyway, so I'm a big fan of big cats. So I just love their eyes. There's so many colours. And like, even like this, what we're doing right now, this horse eye, it's got so many colours and like textures and reflections. I feel like you always have that with a cat eye.
Yeah.
I think that's what I really like about them.
And they're so different. When I come to, you know, on the rare occasion that I have a cat eye to draw, they're so different to dogs' eyes, and then horses' eyes are different again, because there are so many different folds and layers to the horse's eye as well. So cat's eyes have the most beautiful colours as well, don't they?
They really do. Especially I like the like yellowy goldy ones.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. It's just so interesting to try and get those colour combinations.
Yeah, and you can see in their eyes all the sort of like little ribbons of light, and you know, where the different colours of in a cat's eye, which you don't really, well, you don't really get in dog's eyes to the same, really.
I guess that's also why people always start off drawing like human eyes. That's normally a thing, isn't it? Like, yeah. I've done a lot of human eyes when I was little. And it's because there's so much to draw, and it's just very interesting and complicated, and it's the same with the cat eye.
Yeah, it keeps your attention, doesn't it? You know, it's absorbing when you're doing it, and the more you look, the more you see. And it's something that is lovely to do.
Your eye is amazing right now, by the way. I love how you've already got all these reflections in. I'm a bit slow today.
I always start with the detail. I'm not very good at kind of putting in sort of those base layers. I go a bit into panic mode, thinking, "Oh my gosh, this is just not going to work." I just, you know, we all go through the ugly stage in our drawings, don't we? Where you kind of, you just have a complete nervous panic, thinking, "There's no way this is going to look like it would look." And so I must admit, it's the style of drawing that I guess you feel most comfortable with. I'm not very loose. I wish I was looser. Mm-hmm. You know, I see other artists working and I think, oh gosh, you know, they've created that and it's just beautiful. I know exactly what it is. It doesn't have the detail, but it tells me everything it needs to tell me.
Yeah, because your eye makes up the rest, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's something, and I think that's definitely something I would like, you know, to work on.
Use this book to do that.
Yeah, I think that's something that would be really, really helpful. And it's, I mean, I've tried blurring images before now to stop me kind of going into the detail before too much to start with. It helps for backgrounds, you know, sometimes when you've kind of to get that depth, the background might be more blurred and less detailed, so in those instances it does help. So I do a kind of a blur on mine, just using sort of, I am not very good with it, but I use GIMP, is like an image manipulation software.
It's like Photoshop, but it's free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found that really, really helpful for kind of blurring out backgrounds. And Photoshop does, like you say, it does exactly the same thing. But I found it useful for backgrounds when I want to get that beautiful softness.
Yeah.
To a background and not have that sharp detail. And it gives that feeling of depth as well to a drawing, because you know, when you look in the distance you can't see detail, so it's kind of trying to recreate that in the artwork as well,
and gives you a focal point, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. And as time has gone on, I tend to get more requests to include backgrounds in the portraits that I do, which is really nice, you know. As well, it allows you to experiment doing different things and treat grass. So
yes. Tell me.
Curly fur and grass. Yeah,
I think a lot of artists feel your pain with that one.
And it's, I never have the right green, you know, it doesn't matter. It's either too yellow, too blue, too, it never looks like it. So it's, yeah, that's one thing that I wish we didn't have to do quite so much of.
Yeah. It's true. Amy Harwood has actually developed a really good technique for grass. She's so good at backgrounds.
Oh, I'll have a closer look at her.
Yeah, she uses like tape and lifts. So she colours over the tape and lifts off layers as she draws and goes back in and then lifts off and goes back in. And it creates such a beautiful like depth to the grass.
Oh, what
a beautiful idea. So good. You need to look at her stuff.
I will. I've definitely know her sort of name.
Yeah.
I probably haven't looked at enough of her work.
She's won a few awards for her work.
Yeah. Yeah. I will have a look at that because it's seeing other techniques as well and kind of thinking, oh gosh, yeah, that's something that maybe I could bring into my work as well.
I don't know how well it would work with pastels because she's a colour pencil artist, but it's definitely worth trying and playing around with.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I definitely will have a look at her work.
Mm. You've entered your work into an exhibition recently, haven't you?
Yeah, so I just entered a piece into Sketch for Survival, which is run by Explorers for Against Extinction. And it's one I tried last year and wasn't successful at being longlisted. Mm-hmm. But this year I decided to be a lot more sort of thoughtful maybe with the image that I wanted to use and draw from. So I did I drew a snow leopard, which I'd wanted to draw ever since seeing Jean's work in her oils. I thought, oh gosh, I would absolutely love to draw a snow leopard. So that one's been longlisted, which is
it's fantastic.
So and they longlist 150 artworks, so you donate the artwork to them, and it basically they then sort of choose once they've got the those artworks, so that mine got sent off last week, they've received mine. They then look at them in the flesh and then whittle the 150 down to 100 that they become the 100 finalists.
That sounds hard to do, to choose between those artists.
There are some fantastic artworks. So all the animals that people select to draw have to be on the red list for vulnerable, even extinct. So there's a selection of categories where they're endangered, vulnerable, and so on. So you can basically select any animal, and it's also environment as well. So it's not just animals either. So it's it's fantastic. So it was so lovely to be at least longlisted. Anything else that happens is just a total, sort of bonus, really.
Yeah, that's so brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I the Fox one just recently received a People's Choice Award. So that was my
wonderful
Fox in the Rain drawing, which I got in touch with a brilliant photographer from the region I'm in West Yorkshire, and asked if he would mind if I could use one of his photographs to draw from. And it was this absolutely stunning photograph of a fox, and he very kindly agreed that I could use his drawing. So yeah, that's what, you know, that was from, which was, you know, amazing. So, and for it to be kind of a People's Choice Award, that was lovely.
Yeah, that's really lovely. Get a bit that boosted your confidence a lot.
Absolutely.
Like all the people love my art.
exhibiting work isn't for everybody. And I absolutely totally get that. I find it it sort of challenges me, really. And I find that challenge quite useful, and you know, things don't get through, and you know, it's sort of a learning curve, really. And it's, and I always think it's because art is so subjective, you know, you can't take it personally, really, as hard as it might be. You've just got to kind of think, well, you know, it's not art. Every piece of work isn't going to appeal to every person, regardless of what the subject matter is and any type of, and that's the beauty of it, you know. It's like the markets I do. There are some amazing pet portrait artists who also sort of do the same markets as Lisa Makins. She does amazing sort of pet portraits and beautiful wildlife drawings. But our styles are very different. Mm-hmm. And Lisa also draws in coloured pencil, whereas I do pastel. And, you know, we sort of catch up at our markets. It's lovely. We, you know, when you see each other and you think,
oh, that's nice.
How's it going? And we've each said it doesn't matter that we might both be at the same market, because at the end of the day, it's what an individual prefers.
Yes.
It's their taste, it's their style. So, you know, you never feel in competition with another artist, because at the end of the day, it's down to somebody purchasing it, or, you know, and I think it's important not to kind of worry about that as well. And
definitely, even if you're doing the same medium, if you're both doing colour pencil, you're still not in competition, because everybody has their own style.
Exactly. And it's the same as handwriting, isn't it? Everybody's style is so different. It's down to what style kind of people like, you know, who are going to find the artwork. So, you know, I just don't worry about it. I think it's too short, I think.
I think you're right.
You know, it's nice to catch up at a market and, you know, hear how you're each doing. And we're both going to be at Art in the Pen in Skipton, which is a really brilliant idea. So basically, everybody has a cattle pen to set up their artwork in, and it's something that's been going for a while. Again, I applied last year and didn't get in, but you know, you just reapply again another year, and I managed to get in this year. And it was, you know, we each get a cattle pen, and you set up your stall in there, and over a weekend. So it's down in Skipton in the cattle market there. So they do craft in the pen at a different time, but the one we're doing is Art in the Pen. So it's, you know, it's a really nice sort of day out as well. You know, people come from all over to come and have a look at the artwork, and And it's all sorts of artists, you know, it's ceramicists, glass art, people working with wood.
It's wonderful.
So I'm really excited to do that as well.
How much does something like that cost?
So depending on the size of the pen, it's over a weekend. So mm-hmm. you set up on the Friday, and so you trade on the Saturday and the Sunday. And I think for the size of the pen I had, I think it was something like £105 in total.
That's really good.
So, I mean, people do pay to go, and you can buy tickets. So people do go pay to actually go along, members of the public. But I think there are people, as I say, this is the first time I'm doing it, but I think there are people that that seek out going at that time of to the art in the pen. Mm-hmm. Specifically. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be great fun.
Oh, that does sound fun. I've only done one show before. I did a pet show.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
I think that stall cost me like £200 and something. That's normally the range, isn't it? 200. It can be up to like even 1,000 sometimes, depending on what the thing is.
And the larger shows, you know, sort of say like Crufts, for instance, I think, mm-hmm. you know, those are very, very expense. I haven't even looked, you know, to see what they are, but I have done a trade show as well, and the trade shows tend to be quite expensive, and it's something that I thought, oh, may as well try, but it didn't work for what I do. There were other wildlife artists there who do really well, but I just felt for me, it wasn't quite, you know, I don't think it would work. But I always think experiences are never wasted.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yes, definitely.
It's worth doing these things, because if, you know, if you don't try them, you just don't know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think they're not quite for me. Like I did a couple of them. I did like a Christmas market one. And yeah, I did the pet show, and I did another one, and I did like it in terms of being able to face-to-face chat with people,
yeah.
and meet people, and, you know, just generally be a bit more social. And it's quite a nice fun day out, but I felt like for me, I didn't really like the entire process of setup of getting prints made, getting cards made, yeah. getting examples framed, and I just felt like it was too much work. Didn't feel like it translated into, you know, success enough for me anyway at the time.
Yeah, I use the markets as kind of a PR exercise, really.
Yes, they are good for that.
Kind of, you know, and provided I've covered my pitch, to me, that's been a successful market, you know, and anything else is a bonus. And more times than not, a commission will come.
Yes. Yeah.
So it, for me, because I find social media side quite difficult, actually. I think, you know, a lot of people do. And I...
Mm.
So I think I've had more success with doing the markets and sort of meeting clients and getting kind of a local base, and so a lot of my commissions have been through word of mouth. Either people have had a commission before.
Clients, definitely.
Yes, yeah. And also, you know, when a few this year have been from, you know, a friend of mine you did a portrait of her dog, and you know, it's something we'd really like. And so that's really, really lovely when, you know, sort of clients have recommended you to other people.
Yes.
So that's something that has been really nice, and I really appreciate, you know, that as well. Mm. So yeah, but they are, markets are such hard work.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's fine when you set up and it's a lovely sunny day, but when it's wind is the worst thing.
Oh. You know?
I'd rather have the wind, the rain than the wind, but because it's, you know, we've all got our gazebos outside, and yeah, it's, you know,
blowing your art everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, what a so, nightmare.
It's a lovely sunny day. It's yeah, perfect. But yeah, it's it can be hard work, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just goes to show though that there are just so many ways to get people in front of your artwork. You yeah, don't have, social media isn't the only way.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely the start for me, but now I get most of mine through my website, through repeat clients, through word of mouth. Like, I don't rely on social media at all for commissions anymore, from my email list. Like, there's just so many other ways of getting people in front of your artwork.
Yeah,
you don't have to have 100,000 followers. Like, it looks nice, but it's not necessary to actually make a living.
Yeah, no. I think that helps, knowing that helps sort of artists a bit like me who don't have a huge following, and kind of struggle a little bit with the social media side of things. And it's, you're right, it doesn't have to be all about social media. I mean, there are always going to be people who really excel on social media and just do brilliantly, and that's kind of, you know, how it works for them. They come across really well.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You know, but then there are always people that do really well at markets.
Yeah.
So there'll always be someone that does really well at the thing that you're trying to do. You just have to find your thing that you're good at.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the thing. And not, it's very easy to compare yourself to other artists and think, yeah, oh, they're doing much better than I am. And but then, you know, I think this year in particular has been quite a struggle for people. I think I've found it harder, I think, this year than previous years, you know, with commissions and things. But you're going to get years like that, and it's about maybe looking at other things, you know.
Yeah.
And to try not to be disheartened with it. It's really hard, but you know, I think this year has been a struggle for so many people. But it's, yeah, but there's always different things you can, you know, that you can do. And it just takes sort of one break. I tend not to turn things down without really looking at them fully and thinking, oh, I wonder if, you know, mm-hmm, this might be fun to do, or this might be a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you just never know how things will turn out. So, you know, it's always good to have a go at things.
Well, like this live, I'm thankful you said yes.
I know.
It's just so nice to chat to you.
Oh, and you, it's been lovely. I know, sort of, because I hadn't done it before, I was like, oh my gosh, how do I go live? But you're so brilliant, and you know,
but you've just done it once now, and now you know.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's lovely to have done it, and it's been so enjoyable. You know, it's been really lovely.
So lovely. We're coming up on time soon, so we're going to have to stop. But it's, I love your eye so much. You've really got that depth in there.
Well, thank you. And I love the, you know, the, well, you've got the depth in the sort of, I haven't tackled these areas really, but all your shading that you got in so quickly at the beginning, I haven't even, I haven't even started, but it's absolutely beautiful as well. And, you know, looking at all the different images in your book, it's been fantastic. It was really hard to choose.
Yes.
So I narrowed it down to a horse because that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, we'll have to do this again sometime and then try and pick something that you're not comfortable with.
Yes.
That'll be a fun challenge.
Definitely. Definitely.
I have done some definitely challenging things, like with the live with Lorna yesterday and the swan feathers.
Oh,
I don't do birds. That's just not something that I've ever been commissioned to do. It's definitely tricky.
I think they, when I've seen other people, I've done a few feathers, but it was only when I started doing them that I realised how absolutely impossibly difficult they were to do. And I thought, oh, these are going to be lovely, you know, sort of, but yeah. No, really, really hard. So
I'm sure there's a technique with them, which is what we're just got to figure out the technique, then you can draw anything.
that's
just how it goes, isn't it?
absolutely.
Aww. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been really, really lovely, and thank you everybody else who's joined us on this live. We've been drawing with the Learn My Craft Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition. If you'd like to get your own copy, you can get it on Amazon or learnmycraft.com. And we have been drawing number 25, this lovely horse eye. And you can watch this live back and all the other lives at learnmycraft.com. So thank you so much, Sarah. It's been a pleasure. We have to do this again.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For having me.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting. Yes. So have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you. You too, and everybody who has joined us as well.
Yes. Thank you. Bye bye.
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 If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.